Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
You got to be a real badass to walk out to Iron Man. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
Neil Greenberg joins the program.
Neil
from
say he is.
The Washington Post. What
he
up,
said,
Greenberg?
Why the hell you think he's doing it, Jay?
How are you, dude?
I'm doing super. How are you?
We're doing great, man. We haven't been able to spend much time on it yet. Let's talk Caps. How you feeling? They're up 3-1. I think they ice it out tonight, but the series has been closer than maybe the scores show.
Yeah, I mean, this is what's going to happen in the playoffs. You're playing really good teams, so it becomes more difficult to blow anybody out necessarily. But like you said, I mean, they're up 3-1. They won 6-3 this last. They lost 6-3 the last game. Then came back and won 5-2. I think that they're going to be fine. It's hard to sweep in the NHL. I think the difference between the best and worst team in the NHL is probably a lot closer in the playoffs than some of the other leagues, or like baseball, basketball, etc. So I agree with you that they kick this thing out in five, and then it's just biggest thing as always, exit healthy. And, just get ready for the next team that's in front of you.
So, speaking of health, this news is just coming out. I see Tarik El-Bashir tweeted, Alexi Protas is officially a game-time decision after being full go the last few days, per Spencer Carberry. What do you think of Protas maybe coming back tonight? Would you keep him resting? What do you think?
Yeah, I don't – I never I always defer to the coaching staff in terms of rest versus getting them playing so they kind of round back into shape, playing shape, if there's any rust. Protas is a young kid, 24 years old. I think it obviously adds depth to the center, position, which is a hallmark of many a Stanley Cup champion. I think they're going to be smart with him. If he's ready to go, I'm sure he'll be out there. If he thinks that he needs a game or two to get himself ready, there's certainly the opportunity to do that. I don't think Washington's any jeopardy of losing necessarily to Montreal. They're not in a dogfight necessarily. So I trust Carberry to do the right thing. Personally, I think if you can get a 30-goal scorer back in the lineup, you do it. Because even, an 80% Protas is probably better than a lot of centers that are available. But again, I mean, you absolutely want him healthy for the rest of the playoffs. So, if you're going to be cautious with him, now is probably the time.
Yeah, I just think that they'll go into this game and they want him to get some play. Instead of if you start getting pressed and throwing him in, that could be a problem in my book.
Yeah, you don't want him to try to do too much too soon, too hard. You don't want him to think that he's this is probably the wrong terminology. He's not the savior. Like, you don't want him thinking that he's the savior or he needs to be or anything like that. Just, he's a young kid. He's probably, the term young and dumb. He doesn't know, how much to push himself. It's playoff hockey, a little bit different. You're probably going to have to save him from himself a little bit. So, you know, just I trust the coaching staff will do the right thing.
Talking with our friend Neil Greenberg here on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can follow Neil at N Greenberg. Caps look pretty good. Carolina last night knocked out the Devils. Now, the Devils stink. I guess they had a ton of injuries or whatever. They were barely in this series the whole time. I actually bet the Hurricanes puck line numerous times. It was kind of fun. But now they get to chill. How important, or is it important, that Washington wins tonight so they're not getting a lot further behind the rest that Carolina's going to get?
Yeah, I mean, Carolina needs the rest. They've had two double overtime games in this series, you know, two in the last three games. If I'm Washington, I worry about Carolina only because I know that organization. I know how progressive it is. I've known Eric Tolsky since he was a blogger in his mom's basement, the GM.
That's crazy.
I know that they're going to take every edge they possibly can, both on the ice and off the ice, whether that's biometrics or you know, rest studies, sleep studies, et cetera. So, yeah, Carolina, you don't want to give them any more advantage that they might already have based on just their overall smarts. So, yeah, I mean, you want to – rest is always good. You know, we just talked about Protas. You know, we want him to be rested, obviously. Alex Ovechkin, you know, is getting up there in age, so more rest for him is probably good. So you absolutely want to be fresh, right? Like, you don't need to – you know, you don't need, like, a week off. Like, there's a – we talk about this a lot in all sports, right? Like, there's a fine line between, you know, well-rested and rusty, right?
Yeah,
like, you
totally.
You know, there's – and that's different for every team. It's different for every player. So, yeah, you want to at least not give Carolina too much of an advantage. But, again, I mean, you know, who knows where that line is for each team.
What do you think has to happen, whether them early in the game or other things need to happen throughout the game to where they secure this victory tonight?
I think fast starts are crucial. I mean, you know, Washington is a well-balanced team. They're a well-coached team. I think you want to see tonight, you don't want to see it be difficult. Like, the worst thing that happens is Montreal thinks that they're back in it, right? Right now it's 3-1, pretty decent win Caps are coming off of. There's really been only one game where Montreal got loose. I think, you know, the worst thing you can do is let them think that they have a chance, you know, it being 3-2. You know, I absolutely think that it's got to be early, get a decent lead, and then just, you know, milk that lead and make sure that you're not making any major mistakes that causes you to collapse.
Greenberg, let's switch to the draft. I'm sure you were paying attention this weekend. What did you think of the Commanders class? Clearly, they are leaning into kind of the advanced athletic metrics that are out there.
Yeah, I thought it was a good one. I mean, it's been a while since we've had a Commanders draft that didn't need to be flashy, right? I mean, like, last year, obviously, they had a very high pick, took a big swing, it panned out for them with the quarterback position. You know, this year was, you know, boring's not the right word, but offensive tackle and then a cornerback. I mean, you know, those aren't, like, sexy picks. They were picking 29, so they really had to wait and see what the draft looked like when it got to them. I liked the picks. I thought they did really well. I don't think that they were reaching. I don't think that they were, you know, they were filling some needs. There's a lot of holes. But, you know, getting a offensive tackle who's versatile, getting a cornerback who's really good, I think is excellent. And then, you know, they took the kid out of Virginia Tech for some depth. They got a linebacker out of UCLA. You know, I think that all that is good and building the right way and, you know, filling up the holes and not, you know, not overreaching. I mean, you know, this is a solid draft class, I think, for Washington. And, you know, a solid draft class can pay off massively because a lot of people reach and try to get guys that are more sizzle than steak, I think, sometimes.
This day and age, the league kind of leans towards the offensive game. When you start thinking about it, is it better to have an exceptional offense or exceptional defense? Or have an exceptional offense and an okay, very good defense?
Yeah, offense. From what we know about how teams are constructed, having an exceptional offense can help pick up the slack for a good to average defense. The opposite is not true. Mm-hmm. An exceptional defense in rare cases will make up for a lackluster offense, but it's rare. Like you need a 85 Bears type defense or a 2000 Ravens type defense to really make that type of impact, I think, in today's NFL. So from all the analytics and all the number crunching, it's the exceptional offense really does carry a lot of the freight for a good,
a good NFL team. You guys,
especially a Super Bowl contender.
I don't hear Neil. Something happened.
I'm still here. You can't hear me?
Hopefully you're still listening to B. Mitch and Finley on 106.7 The Fan. Anybody home? B, you got
me? I hear you. I was talking. Can you hear me?
We got him now.
It cut out. Everything completely cut out in the prison cell.
Oh, my goodness.
But we got you now. All good.
Okay, so TLDR, an exceptional offense can make up for an average to lackluster defense. The opposite is not true. If you have an exceptional offense, it's got to be like 85 Bears quality to make up for an average offense in today's NFL.
Those don't grow on trees.
Well, dude, a lot of that, I think it's kind of unfortunate because the last really defensively led Super Bowl champion, I would say, was that Seahawks team that beat up Peyton and the Broncos.
Mm-hmm. The Legion of Boom.
Yeah, because they were the Von Miller Broncos win. Actually, I guess that was after it, right? So the last defensive-led team, I would say, was Von Miller. Then it was Legion of Boom. Like, the NFL has basically legislated winning that way out of football.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more difficult now to try to win with an incredible defense and maybe a good run game than it's ever been.
Totally.
Yeah, because think about how you have to get points on the board with an exceptional defense. You have to turn the ball over, you have to recover the fumble, and then you have to somehow make it into the end zone. Like, that's a lot of moving parts in terms of scoring on the defensive side. It's like almost, coin flip, and have them all come up heads. You have much more control over your scoring destiny, obviously, if you have an exceptional offense. So I think that, Washington's draft, shoring up the offensive line, a need. Cornerback, a need. And a good cornerback, we've talked about this before, can help the pass rush because you're giving extra time for the defensive line to get home to the quarterback.
Well, dude,
exactly.
Just like the philosophy of it, the NFL is kind of creating their own problem too, or creating their own dynasties in a way. Not to get premature on it, but like if you make everything so contingent on being a good passing football team, that makes everything so contingent on finding good quarterbacks. And what we know in this town and really just across the country, there aren't enough of them. Like, I think legitimately good guys that could go win you a game, guys that could make a conversion on 3rd and 14. How many legitimately good quarterbacks are there? 8? 10?
Maybe.
There's 32 teams.
10 at the most.
A couple guys get hurt. Like, they've created this world where you need this one element to succeed, and there's just not enough of those elements to go around.
Well, and also the rules are also hampering the defense to do their job as effectively as they might be able to, right? Everything, like you said, is kind of predicated on the passing game being successful, whether that's touching the quarterback, bumping the receiver, et cetera. We've talked about this before, like, getting an average quarterback, going from like below average to average in quarterbacking in the NFL is a huge leap in terms of team strength
because
the passing offense is so important. A lot of people, and that's why these backup guys make so much money, because having a superstar NFL quarterback is great, but getting average to a little bit above average quarterbacking really does make a huge difference. And that's why you see these veteran guys on their 5th, 6th contract making money, because it really does impact the score sheet.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
So to that point, talk to our friend Neil Greenberg on the Rude Guest Hotline. Give Greenberg a follow at N Greenberg. You have your pinned tweet right now is which NFL teams are expected to be better or worse in 2025? And we can ask that about a ton of teams, but I'm really interested in we saw and heard the same thing last year. Going into the season, there was all this optimism about the Bears, and then they fell apart. Now everybody's like, oh, the Bears are the team. Now they got Ben Johnson, who's a first-time ever head coach, and a quarterback last. Caleb Williams has all of the tools. He has a rocket of an arm. He can make plays in and out of the pocket. He has all of the tools. But he also makes mistakes, dude. What do you make of all the optimism surrounding the Chicago Bears?
Well, it's people want optimism. It's so much easier to be optimistic than pessimistic because people want their team to succeed. They want to believe in something good, and they want everything to work out. And for Chicago, you know, we heard this with Chicago. We've heard it with Detroit before they started to get really good, like how they had all the pieces and this was going to be their year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do think Chicago with Ben Johnson, I mean, we're going to see how good of a offensive coordinator he was. You know, we saw Bieniemy here coming off the Kansas City offense, and it didn't really work out. I mean, you know, there is a case to be made that, you know, offensive coordinators are really good at being offensive coordinators and not necessarily head coaches. You know, we're going to find that out if Ben Johnson is part of that. But there is optimism with Chicago. You know, I think that they did get a little bit better. And when you're an underwhelming team, your strength of schedule gets easier. And I think that, you know, that also plays a role in it. Maybe that gets you an extra win or two. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's optimism. Now, the betting total is at 8.5. I'm not sure I'm that optimistic. Going from 5 to 9 wins is a lot. But, the public likes to bet overs, and they like to bet on something happening as opposed to something not happening. In this case, that something is winning games.
That smells like you're taking the under.
Under, baby.
I'm probably pessimistic on that betting total.
Have any betting totals moved since the draft?
Very little. There's been a couple, like 1 point. Now, I don't know if they moved because of betting and they were high or low to begin with. But there's not going to be serious movement unless, you know, you have a Peyton Manning type guy at number one, or, you know, the Andrew Luck situation. That can really move the needle and really turn a franchise around. I don't think that we had that in this draft. So I think that we're going to see – there wasn't too much movement. As I said, it was just a half game to a game that I saw one way or the other. And I don't think that it's going to be that big of a deal. Because we really don't know yet who's going to be good out of this draft, where they're going to play, how much they're going to play, and how much of an impact they're going to have.
What is Washington's win total? Forgive me for not remembering.
It opened at 10.5, and now it's 9.5. And that 9.5 was before the draft. It was bet down.
Interesting.
That's a tough number.
Yeah, it's a big number. I mean, that's a
significant number. It is. It's their largest since the Marty Schottenheimer year in terms of win total before the season. That's a tough one. I mean, I think 9 or 10 wins is probably where I would have put them before we knew any betting totals. So the 9.5 is that's a tough one. They have a much more difficult schedule, and you know, I think that even if they got 9 or 10 wins with a more difficult schedule, they could be as good as they were last year. But because, as I said, they're facing better teams, a 9 or 10 win season could actually be seen as an improvement overall.
Oh yeah,
I agree. And they're just the. Like the logistics of this upcoming season are going to be so dramatically different than what we saw last year.
Oh, didn't have anything last year. Figure it out.
Greenberg, we got to let you go, man. Thank you for the time.
Okay, Rodriguez in the Derby.
Oh, give us your spiel.
Rodriguez in the Derby.
Got it.
Very fast horse, has the pedigree to sustain that speed. Breaking from inside post, but he likes to be at the front anyway. I don't think it'll be a factor. I like Rodriguez. His morning line odds were 12-1. I think I'd be happy with 8-10-1.
Rodriguez in the Derby it is. Thank you, dude.
All right, love you. Talk to you soon.
Hi, man.
That's our guy, Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post. You can give him a follow at N Greenberg. He likes Rodriguez in the Derby. I didn't even know the Derby was coming this weekend. I guess it's almost May.
You haven't
right?
heard me talking about it all week?
Nope.
All right. See where you at in the breaks. Those ears don't work during the breaks.
We'll be right back.